Good morning, Anna.
Hi everyone, good morning here from New York. Welcome to the Corruptive Nurse Perspective. I'm immigrant nurse also. I am so excited to be here. We have a very controversial topic that every nurse or anyone applying for US is worried about. So today we're going to discuss about all about retrogression with our main host, Paul, and we're waiting for Clay, but definitely we will have a meaningful 1 hour of conversation about retrogression, right, Paul?
Right. I think I just saw Kay in the backstage. There she goes.
Good morning. I'm like, am I
Good
getting
morning.
kicked out? Am I being put in a stand in the corner?
I was like, ooh, we have 10 more seconds and Kay is not in the screen, but it's okay. Hi, Kay. Hi, Anna.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Paul. Good evening. Good afternoon. Good morning,
Right.
Anna.
Hi,
Right.
Welcome to BMPLA, our second Sunday for this month. Right, Paul? And last week,
Sunday fun day.
Yeah, last week, thank you for being with us. I know everyone was so happy that finally have a second Sunday. Everyone is so excited, sending me questions. Now is the best time to learn, and we will share our experiences.
Right. And currently we have 84 viewers already. Everybody, you guys can use the comment section and we can read your comments. So if you have questions, this will be a very interactive show. I'm so excited to talk about retrogression, Anna and Kay.
Mm-hmm. Hello, for Mary Asuncion from California. Congratulations.
Hi, everyone. Right.
From AORN.
Right. And Jerry is also my colleague. He's also one of the board of directors for Siena Nursing Society, the International Educated Nursing Society. And hello, Jerry. We have a viewer in, I think, in LinkedIn. Mahmood is in Dubai. Hello. And Vanessa is in Philippines. Welcome, everybody. And this is going to be a long talk about retrogression. Very, very hot topic, right, Kay, as far as immigration is concerned. Mm-hmm. And it's also connected to nursing shortage. Oh, my God. Lots of stuff to talk about. We just reached 150 viewers.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
3 minutes into the show. 3 minutes
Nurses,
into the show.
Get your notebook, get your pen, and start to learn. You cannot remember everything. You know, it's better to take notes so you can always go back if you forgot something.
Yep.
Okay, let's start.
Lots of stuff to talk about. What are we going to talk about today, Anna?
Yeah. I'm going to start with retrogression, what it's all about, the meaning of it. You know, a lot of people are confused about the terms and the terms corresponding with it. And when you hear retrogression, you will ask, what is visa bullet mean? Do you know how to read the visa bullet mean? What is priority date? What is fiscal year? These are the terms that we're going to talk about. And of course, impact on nursing immigration, how will it affect my American dream? And our result of it, the lame career plans, and what are we going to do, alternative career plans, our success stories, me and Paul, and last but not least, our advocacy efforts to help you while navigating immigration. Right, Kay and Paul?
Right.
The advocacy. The advocacy that we always do. You know, we're too
yes.
broke on this advocacy.
Right. I think
we want to do.
Right. I think honestly, for getting paid a dollar for every time we say advocacy would probably be a millionaire by now. But we're just kidding, guys. But to be honest, advocacy is something that me and Anna and Kay, that's what brought us together. You know, I told you guys last week, we were virtual friends. We've never met for years until recently, but we've been virtual friends and we were tied up together with the advocacy. That's why I was like, you know what? Let's all come in together for a show. And everybody's busy. Anna is busy. Kay is busy. But this is what we do, guys. You know, we want to be able to be one of those few voices who are standing up for our nurses.
Yep, and that's why Lefora is there, because as a Lefora group, we are there to advocate for the nurses' success. Not only for the nurses' success, but this is also the success of the place where you're going, your family, your employer, and everybody that surrounds you. It's going to be the success of everyone.
Right. And not only that, okay, we're also using our own public social media pages to spread the word, to collaborate with other influencers, to make sure that we're sending our message to everybody that, hey, we might be Gen Zs, and we might not be at the top of the nurse leaders, that you guys see
Correct.
all the time, but we collectively, as you guys empower us, as you guys support us, collectively, we have a voice and we will send and we will make our voices heard. We will send our message to everybody to say, you know what, it's about time to band together and we are here to advocate for our nurses.
And this is also a way to give back, because when we were starting, when we were on Google, we have nowhere to go. There's no Lefora, no Facebook,
Right.
no Instagram. No one is sharing what happened to them, how did they achieve their American dream. So this is
Right.
our way of help of giving back too.
Did
And
I
that's what's
say to
the
you, sorry to cut you, Paul, did I say to you guys arrive here in the United States without cell phone?
Oh my
Without
God.
computer,
Okay,
without
okay.
nothing,
Okay,
zero.
you're telling them your age.
It's so difficult to navigate a system that is new, a country that is new, and you have
That is
no
true.
idea who to call. You have no person to ask to. And right now, the advocacies of Lefora is very, very big help to a lot of people into reaching their success. So,
Right.
take this. These are the free information that you will get that are the best
Right.
information.
And honestly, kids today will never understand what it means to not have a cell phone, going to school without a cell phone, going to the mall with your parents without a cell phone, that if you're lost, you're lost. But, and even then, I moved to the States in 2017. And even then, Lefora was just a year when they started the Facebook group. We don't have a lot of resources. We were one of those few people that actually, started information campaign series. That way we can educate nurses coming over here to the States. And that's the beauty of what we're doing, because we're using social media to leverage the social media to provide free informational shows like this. Hello, Marvin. Marvin is here. Just came back from his trip. Happy birthday again, Marvin.
Oh,
Marvin,
he always
yep,
come back
Marvin.
from a trip.
I
It's
know.
right.
Right. Marvin, our offer still stands. You can join us in one of the future shows. He has so much to share.
Actually hello, Mr. Matt Samuel from Uganda. Thank you for
Wow.
watching.
Hi, Mr. Samuel.
We have
Wow,
from
we have someone from
Canada.
UAE, we have Uganda, we have
UK.
Canada, UK. Woo, we're all over the world. What countries are we in today? We have someone from Saudi Arabia too. I think I saw someone from there. And Filipinos as well, from the Philippines. Wow.
We have Cebu or Mo City. Okay. And Muslim is Oriental and Apollo. Hello, everyone. Thank you for gracing your night with us. You will not regret it. You're going to learn a lot and it will be useful. So, Paul, what is retrogression? I know we talked about it last
Whew.
week, but the
Okay.
real meaning of it, you will start.
Right. I think I have so much to share, but for the purpose of preventing myself from over-talking, I have some notes, like outlines. But anyway, retrogression is part of the Immigration Nationality Act. That was, what year was that? I was reading it earlier, I forgot already. But it was from the Immigration Nationality Act, and this was created back in, it's been a long time, to be honest. I forgot the year, but the reason why there's retrogression is because the Immigration Nationality Act, which is the federal law to control immigration, prevents too many immigrants in the US. They're controlling immigrants coming over here for probably economic and political reason. We don't know. but we're guests in this country, I would say. So we play by the rules. So because there's limits to how many immigrants they can bring to the U.S., mm-hmm. the visa allocation becomes scarce. And there is what we call retrogression because there's not a lot of visa compared to people who wants to come over here. And it gets very tricky because the employment-based immigration, this is not including the family-based, where nurses come over here via immigrant visa, is much more constrained and much more has much lower amount of availability compared mm-hmm. to family-based petitions per year. And we also limit that per country. So this limits in place prevent over-migration of one certain race or one certain country to dominate the U.S. And that's how they did it. We cannot question that. That's the law. But that's what creates what we call retrogression. It bottlenecks to where there's more nurses applying for visas. And we're not only talking about nurses. One nurse could get 7 visas because she yeah. probably had 6 kids and a spouse, right? Or we cannot control that. Mm-hmm. But that's what creates the bottleneck where there's more demand, but there's less supply of visa. And hence why we're talking about retrogression. And I was reading the trend from 1990s. And there were many times that retrogression actually happened. I'm going to create a TikTok reel in the next couple of days showing you guys how many times retrogression happened in the last 30 years. The data is available in USCIS. But retrogression is very real, and that's why we're talking about it right now.
Okay, aside from Paul explaining retrogression, what is visa bulletin? Visa bulletin is being released every month.
Right.
You're going to see 4 rows, 4 columns. You can select that or you can search for your visa screen. So yes, thank you, lovely. We have employment base, we have Earth, second, Oregon, other workers. We also have the country, China, India, Mexico, Philippines. So we're going to look at the Philippines side. As you can see, ma'am, what is employment base 1, 2, and 3? We will focus on 2 and 3, right, Paul? So, as nurses, we belong from the org. That's why you heard, what is EB3? That is employment base number 3. It means you have a bachelor degree, you have experience, while EB number 2 is more of a specialist, you have a higher degree or what I read was exceptional capabilities. So now right. nurses, me and Paul and Clay, we belong from EB3. And if right. you can see from the Philippines, I'm going EB3, I hope everyone's following, we have December 1, 2021. That's the right. current priority date. So what is priority? Right. Oh.
So priority date is the date that your application for immigrant visa has been approved. So mm-hmm. the date that it was approved becomes your priority date. And it is through the priority date that we base our retrogression, right? If you can see the pattern, for example, in EB3, the Philippines has a priority date of December 1, 2021, which means every petition that's that has a priority date prior to December 1, 2021 can get interviewed and eventually get issued a visa. Any dates after this, any priority dates after this, will not get a visa and will have to wait until that date is current. And that's not only in the Philippines. If you look at Mexico and rest of the world or ROW, we have the same dates, December 1, 2021. But if you look at India and China, they're much more retrogressed than us. China mm-hmm. is retrogressed for 3 years, more than 3 years. India is retrogressed for more than 10 years. That mm-hmm. means that there's higher demand with Indians and Chinese people getting EB3 visa compared to Mexicans and Philippines. But Mexico, Philippines, China, and India are the top 4 countries mm-hmm. that are actually using up the EB3 category. That's why they're separated. But mm-hmm. the reason why they separated China, India, Mexico, and Philippines is there's also what we call country limits. Mm-hmm. And probably we're going to talk about that later.
How about you, Clay? Will you remember your priority date?
Oh my God, I have no idea what I have been signing throughout those times, you know. You know, I'm a young kid when I did that, so I say YOLO. But the thing that I want to, you know, that I clearly remember, because when I was signing those immigration documents, and actually I think I was confused on that part because nobody was guiding me on how to fill those documents. I think I check in like the not the EB3, but it was a working visa that I check, because there's a box, you know, they said to me, hey, fill this up and then just give it back to us when you're done. Nobody was guiding me, so I think I clearly remember that I did not check the EB3 or the permanent green card, but I checked off the working visa because I thought I was going to be getting working visa back then. But, you know, but during the process, when I received my visa, it was actually green card. And I think that they corrected it by automatic. Yeah. So I have no idea what I was doing back then. I don't
Kay,
know.
What year did you get to the U.S.? Because
I got to the U.S. at around 2006.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Because when I was reviewing it the other day, 2006 was actually, I think, current or close to being retrograde. So you might have gotten in at the time that it was current. And if it's current and you're in the U.S., it's much faster because adjustment to status.
True. Right. Yeah. So what happened back then, I think it was open. I think it was 2002 when it was like a big boom of me.
Right.
2002.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm still in nursing school. Like, you know, I think this is going to be, you know, it's like the need.
We were all in nursing school back then.
Maybe some of your high
feelings,
school.
Okay.
No. I was about to go to nursing school back then. But okay. They're going to find out our age.
It's okay, you know. Age is just a number, right? And we look
right,
good
right,
and
right.
even young. So, right. I want to explain this part because I want people to understand that there was a pattern. So 2002, right. There was a big boom of need to come into the United States. And then I was able to, you know, start my petition process in 2005. So 2002 to 2005 was a three-year window frame of that boom, right? When you look at the picture right now, what we have is there was a big boom in 2020 because of the pandemic, and then now we're 2023. You know, we're slowing down.
Yeah.
That's why there's a retrogression, but it does not mean that it's not going to move forward, right? Because when I submitted my application, what I did was I was very proactive. I have all my documents ready without anybody telling me or telling me to stop or telling me to hold on, to wait. So being proactive, I was just after graduation, took my CGFNS, IELTS, you know, I even took my TOEFL.
Me too. And,
right? But then they said, oh, TSC is hard. Okay, so I'll just take IELTS. So I went straight to IELTS. I applied for Visa Screen. I applied for NCLEX without even having an employer, but I was just having it ready, you know. And by the time that the employer came, they were able to submit me right away. And even without the premium process, it went really quick because my documents were ready already. So that's the important thing when you will have to, you know, focus on keep on going. Keep on going, even there is retrogression, I keep on going, you know, just like that. So sorry for that side note. So, but that's how it went through my experience with retrogression. And those people who were waiting and waiting and waiting, they were actually affected by the retrogression of 2006.
Right.
No,
right.
Yeah, no, 2000.
06.
Yeah, 2006,
sorry, yeah. 06 and then 07, because I graduated 07. And at that time, the priority date was 05. And we were promised it's only 2 years. Well, what do you know? By 2008, it went back to 2002. And then you, after a few years, it was horrible. Yeah. Anna, you know that. We were in the same timeline.
Well, I must say, I'm older than you guys. I graduated in 2003 from AIA, from Emilio Aguinaldo College. And then my priority date with my first agency was 2007. After 5 years of being with them, they abandoned me. So I had to go back all over again. And I found another agency. My priority date was moved to 2008. So I was affected by retrogression for almost 8 years. Like, I waited 8 years for the being able to arrive. And during those times, there were so many things that happened. And you were right, Clay, you were blessed enough to leave Philippines before retrogression happens. Those are the dark moments of my life.
Those were the dark moments of my life too. So when I arrived, you know, right, that it right. wasn't.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I think God gave me all those. God right. said, "Hey, Kay, take all the hit. So when 2020 come, you save all these nurses from that hit."
Right.
Why did I take all this?
Right. I think the beauty of what we're talking about is there's three of us that have undergone the same predicament, but different situations, different timeline, which makes it beautiful because our viewers will actually appreciate what retrogression is all about, that it's not the the end or the terminal, you know, whatever that cuts their American dream. This is just one of those phases that's cyclical, that happens all the time, and that shouldn't deter them if they really want to be to the if they really want to be going to the US. I've shared this before in Lefora, and I want to share this to our viewers. We have 330 viewers. Wow. And I said to them, the American dream is very elusive. Imagine there's 8 billion people. They only allow 400,000 immigrants a year, right? So that's very selective. We go through very thorough vetting process. And there's very, the scarcity of the visa is what makes it appealing for everybody to go to the U.S. because we're competing with the world stage, with Europeans, with Africans, with South Americans, with Asians, all of us spitting together to get that visa. But I said this before, and I'll say this again. The American dream is for those people who really want it so bad. Because if you really want it so bad, you're going to get there. Now, if in the middle, you know, you quit, you're like, no, I don't want to be waiting for 2 years. Well, fast forward for me, after 9 years of waiting and being 7 years here in the U.S., I can honestly say I have the time to do the DNP show because it just gives me so much financial flexibility and time flexibility. I couldn't do this when I was in the Philippines because I have to work because there's just not enough money. Right. But now we can all sit here and try to look cute in the camera because there's so much flexibility. Yeah, if that's not a message by itself.
Yeah, you have extra money to pay for filters, you know, on this.
with my concealer, okay, and my purple hair.
I have an extra money to buy an extra iPhone just for webcam purposes. I'm so sorry. I'm just kidding, guys. But the point is, American dream is for you if you want it. If you don't want it, there's another person waiting for it. So it's either you take it or not.
Okay. Next one, since you said that, what are the impact of nurses in immigration? A lot of people send me messages, ma'am, what will be the impact of this retrogression in my career as a nurse for my family? You know, we've been waiting for this. Do I give up? Do I go to another country or for another career? So I was going to share my story. The impact of the retrogression is a blessing and a curse. You know, because you're waiting longer, but at the same time, you can redirect your energy while waiting for the visa to be upgraded. It's up to you how you're going to make it work and meaningful while waiting for the visa. And there's so many things that you can do while waiting, like learn more about being a nurse, go through like clinical experience, and enhance your skills, prepare yourself, and they have a lot of information about, you know, IRS taxes while waiting, right? How about that?
Yeah, so this actually waiting period, like I say to a lot of people, things don't happen, you know, out of accident. You know, things happen for a reason. If you have been affected by retrogression, I'm going to speak about, you know, how the migration globally will react on this. So the way I will see this is, now there's a retrogression. There will be a lot of employers who's going to be trying to get nurses from globally, you know, source nurses globally. So now there will be positions that will be opened up in the global market. What are the countries that we're talking about here? UK, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, you know, your Middle
Germany.
East countries, Germany, Austria,
Ireland, Canada.
I just got a call from an Ireland company. They said, "Kay, can you help us?" Right? I said, "Well, I'm not a recruiter, but I can probably, you know, refer you to the Philippine agencies, or, you know, there's a list for that." So there are a lot of people who are actually getting, you know, prefers English speaking supply, I mean, country, donor countries. And the good thing about the Philippines is you're very flexible to go to different countries because of our education system are in English. It's just probably some countries like Germany, you will have to take your, you know, your that language separate, but it's not really hard to do language, you know, learning. I think what is harder is, you know, to deal with your coworker that will never change and it's annoying the whole day.
Right.
You know, and you're in and you're on your 3-year contract. So I think it's easier to learn a new language than that. I would take that new language anytime. So there will be a lot of migration that will be happening here, global scale, global movement of nursing. Again, though, while the petition coming to the U.S. is on retrogression or there is a delay, I recommend you guys, you know, looking at those options in other countries, because this can also help you boost your experience when you come to the United States. And retrogression happens, it's not the end of the world. There will be vacant positions that will be on those countries as well, because those people from that will be coming here. So there will be always global movement. When it comes to local nurses, of course, there's still a lot of demand for nursing in America. That will be filled up by local nurses. A lot of travel nurses actually went back to their full-time staff as well. But again, remember, the supply of nursing in the United States is still not enough, because there is a shortage of educators in the United States. So this is what's causing the massive shortage in the United States. You know, when you have a bottleneck of nurse who wants to enroll, American nurses who wants to enroll in a nursing school, they are turned away because there's not a lot of educators. And then on top of that, there are a lot of new grads in America that are trying to get into the hospital system. But the problem is there is also shortage of educators in the hospitals. So they can, you know, how many times I have heard in this hospital, they say, "Kay, you know, we really want to take new grads, but right now we don't have educator to train them. So we're only getting experienced nurses." So there will be a lot of needs here, and it's going to be a continuous cycle of needs. So, you know, if you are held in the Philippines because of your application in the U.S., I want you to heavily consider trying different, you know, countries, you know, to put your, you know, to get your feet
while
wet.
While waiting. And that's not only true for the Philippines, because we also have nurses coming from the African region and Southern Asian region. Yeah. In my company, where, you know, I teach nurses from more than 40 countries. Mm-hmm. And the movement of nurses is not only coming from the Philippines, but I've also had students from Malaysia, Thailand, Korea. And students from Sri Lanka and Nepal and Nigeria and Kenya and Brazil and the Caribbean countries. So there's a global movement, Kay is right. But although the U.S. visa puts a stall on you coming to the U.S. because of the retrogression, there's, you know, U.S. is not the only Western employer that can employ you. And what Kay is saying is you can try out other countries while waiting for the U.S., right? Now, this is a sensational talk, Kay. And I know in the global nursing stage, they also talk about why are we promoting immigration to the U.S. when the countries where these nurses are coming from have shortage? But that's going to be for another talk, because I want to share something about that too, because professionals will always move to countries that will pay them more, that will always, you know, value them more. So we cannot prevent nurses from doing that. That is their own prerogative to move to countries where they want to work. But we are here to support them when they get here or when they start deciding to come over here to the US. That's what we're doing. We're not advertising to, hello, everybody, go to the US, leave your own country and let your own healthcare system burn down to, burn down. But we're not political figures, but we're here to advocate for nurses who wants to live their American dream.
Yep, we are actually, that's a good thing that you mentioned that, Lefora and the three of us are immigration neutral. We are immigration neutral.
That is correct.
We're not promoting you, exactly what Paul said. We're not promoting you to leave and immigrate here. We're not here to stop you, but we're immigration neutral, which means that we are just giving you facts, and it's up to you how you take those facts.
In the perspective of immigrant nurses that are in the U.S., not to advertise, hey, let's leave those little countries and, let's leave those people where we came from our origin countries and move somewhere else. That's not the point. The point is people are going to come here to the U.S. anyway. They need support. They would need to hear from people who've already lived this journey. So that's what we're here for.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And there's, because I'm a traveling nurse and I always tell people travel nursing is not just for local American nurses. Mm-hmm. The principle behind travel nursing is really good, nurses from lower economic situation going to higher economic situation to better off their situation. May it be a nurse from, let's say, Idaho going to New York or California, but you're also talking about nurses from Philippines going to different countries, or even within the Philippines itself, a nurse from a province that will try to travel to a higher paying city like Manila. They move, that's the mobility of nursing there. Not only nursing, but I think, like Paul said, all professionals, want to be reciprocated for their hard work in their education level, that they're trying to look for better ways to make their life better.
Okay, great point, Paul and Payne. So I just want to answer one of the comments. I know we have so many comments. I hope, I wish we have longer time to answer each one of them. From Emily Marshall. She asked about, unfortunately, if the company or agency terminated your position, like what happened to me, is there anything nurses can do? So Emily, with what happened to me, the agency sent me a letter stating, hey, due to retrogression, we are terminating your contract. You are free to go. Means I can apply to other company or you can apply to other agency. Now, the agency can recapture your priority rate. But with what happened to me, the second agency did not recapture it. So they reapply. So I had two priority rate fall and pay that I have to do something about it when you have two applications in USCIS. So that's the answer, Emily. If your agency terminated your contract or retrogression, you can apply for another company. It's either going to recapture you or you're going to apply another and start with priority. It's possible. Right. Don't worry. It's not the end of the world.
Right. Can I share my story to Anna? Because I got abandoned. That's what we call in the international nursing immigration community. I got abandoned. It's really terrible to hear that you're abandoned and really feel it. I got abandoned by my original employer 1 month into me being current. So imagine I already said goodbyes to my I was a professor, I was a business partner for a big company in Philippines. And I said, I'm leaving to this year, 2015. And then I was about to become current August 2015 or July. And then my employer said, you're not in bedside nursing right now. And we're rescinding the offer. This was, we started 2008 and at 2014 or 2015, they're telling me we're rescinding the offer. We gave it to someone else, basically, the spot. Because, it's an ER spot, right? So they said, do you want to do med surge? I was like, that's not my line of specialty. So I'm going to pass, all right? So what happened was I got abandoned and then there's retrogression again. So my friends are like, are you really leaving? Because I think you're just, you know, advertising that you're leaving when you're not. Nobody believes this one. It's like the boy who cried fox, right? Because I've been saying I've been leaving since 2008. Nobody believed me. But to cut it short, my agency, my recruiter, she's my recruiter, right? Found me another employer from the same city, all right, with an ER spot. They badly need ER nurses because they're opening up a lot of ERs. And what they had to do, the lawyer was actually good because when they filed my petition, they recaptured my original priority date, which was May 2009, something like that. So May 2009, when I got my new petition, it says my priority date is May 2009. Fast forward several months later, I was current again, and I only had to wait 1 year from the time I was abandoned for the ball to start rolling. So that's what you do if you get abandoned. Remember that there's like 50 or 100 recruiters waiting for you in Facebook. Start talking to them. They'll be happy to assist you. There's so many options right now compared to what we had before. Before, I'd be honest with you guys, I interviewed 5 times and all these employers I found from classified ads in a newspaper. Right now, they're all over TikTok and Facebook.
Manila Bulletin. Yes. And then on the weekend, as early as 7 a.m., I'm going to line up in one of the hotels that they advertise. They're going to have a hiring.
Same.
I'm going to wear my business casual while I was waiting and walking in Up Avenue. And she says, oh, Anna, you're going to have a panel interview. So I was wearing business attire. And guess what? They hand me the phone. The old Paul interview, me wearing high heels and all. So
you're right,
Paul. Right now, there's so many resources and so many agencies waiting for you. So don't say, oh, I'm an expert progression. I'm not going to apply for now. I'll wait for the visa to open. No, don't do that. Especially those who are planning to take your test, NCLEX, English test, visa screen, do not wait. Because the moment it open, you're going to be far behind. You're going to have an NCLEX. You're going to have IELTS or English test. You have no visa screen. So nurses, please learn from us. Plan ahead.
By the way, I know we still have 300 viewers. Thank you so much, guys. So if you guys can please do us a favor, share this to your pages so we can reach out to nurses or tag your friends in the comment section. That way they can watch this show later. We're streaming this in multiple social media sites, including Anna and Kay's site. So thank you so much for joining us today. We still have 300 viewers. Wow, that's
remember,
great.
Fairy, not PM. Right, Kay?
Right.
Sharing is the key, not PM is the key.
Tell me more about it.
We don't like PM is the key because we are group admins. Okay, when we see someone spamming comments and say PM me guys, that doesn't fly for us. If you're telling everyone to PM you, you must be hiding something.
All right.
Now, so let's move on about the delayed career plans and alternative career plans. I know we asked Bings about this earlier. Like, you said, hey, opportunity to go to the other countries. How about you, Paul? What were you doing while waiting for the retrogression?
Yeah, so it took me 9 years plus to get here to the U.S. And I figured, you know, I told my friends, the U.S. may be elusive, but that's my medium-term plan. I wrote down my plans. When I saw the pattern of retrogression, I said, it's going to take me 10 years, probably 15. So I'll be in the U.S. between 30 to 40 years old. That's going to be my medium-term plan. That's going to be, you know, my where I'm probably going to have my midlife crisis by the time I get to U.S. or quarter-life crisis. I don't know. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time. What I did was, while doing some clinicals, I got an offer to become an instructor for the NCLEX, for the local board examination in nursing. And that catapulted me to the peak of my career in my 20s. In my 20s, I never stopped working as a nurse. I actually argued with my original employer because they said, you're not working as a nurse. I was like, excuse me, I'm a nurse educator. I'm a nurse, all right? Because I'm not outside nursing. I'm teaching as a nurse. And the new employer that actually petitioned me understood the assignment, is how they say it, right? Because they're like, yeah, he's still a nurse. We're gonna capture him. We'd rather have someone who actually teaches emergency nursing than someone who's been a nurse for a year or two, right? Because I've been an educator for years when the new employer petitioned me. But what I did was I keep teaching. I went around all the Philippines to teach. What I'm trying to say is I didn't waste my time. I improved myself professionally. I honed myself professionally. I would still do conferences and still do, clinical, volunteering once in a while to keep myself current in the bedside and in academe. So I was still a nurse the whole time, and I was also managing a business. So by the time I got to US, I was prepared for everything. I have my financial plan, I have my academic plan, I have my professional plan, but I didn't waste no time, right? At my 20s, when everybody, all my friends are partying, I was preparing myself for my US career at 30. So as soon as I got here, the first month I was enrolling in doctorate school, I was preparing myself financially and planning my financial path and career path and stuff like that. I did not waste my time.
Well, just like Paul, I experienced quick progression. I waited 8 years, and while waiting, I never stopped to work as an operating room nurse in one of the hospitals in Manila. Actually, I want to be a company nurse. They pay more before.
Right, right.
We have no BPO, and I told my mom, we need money. I have to pay NCLEX, IELTS, I put GMNS. The aid from the hospital will not help us. And my mom said, no, Anna, you are a nurse. You're supposed to work in a hospital and learn and, build up your skills. So I listened to my mom. I work in the OR. I only earn $100, $200 in a month. Overwork, underpaid, abuse, and misuse. But hey, it helped me. Now, scrubbing in 15 hours, no relief, 14 hours, no pay break. That's what I did. And then I enrolled myself at a lot of skills seminars from different hospitals.
Right.
The only regret that I never learned, I did not do, was learn how to drive. So go for those waiting.
You gotta learn to drive coming to the U.S. Trust me.
For those waiting, there's a lot of things to do while waiting. That's why I told those new nurses who are graduating, Mom, could I take Philippine Nursing Board? I said, yes, why not? Well, New York State doesn't require us to have a license from Philippines. I said, no, that's not the point. Look now, there's retrogression. If you have no Philippine license, how can you work in a hospital?
Right.
So I always advise them, be smart. I mean, I know some state doesn't require PRC or Philippine nursing license, but if something happens like this, at least you have a license, you can work, you can enhance your skills, gain clinical experience, and it's a big leverage when you apply in an agency. And aside from that, stay informed. What's DME a lot every Sunday, right? How about you, Kay? I know you shared a lot.
Well, for me, I always keep on moving forward. It's very proactive. Whether there's opportunity or not, what is your goal? That's the main thing there. Like Paul said, create a long-term realistic goal. If if your goal is to come to the United States and think to yourself, I want to be in the United States in 8 months or 1 year, because some people got there in 1 year and then you're crying because you did not get here in 1 year. Those were actually unrealistic goals because those were special occasions, okay? That's why you cannot compare yourself. If you are the visa usually is within 2 to 3 years. Everybody knows that. But just because we had that 2020, we had a pandemic and there was no visa being issued. So there was a waterfalls, of visa that poured kind of lump sum during that time, and whoever got in was able to be processed quicker. But those are not your useful scenario, I'm not saying, let's not wish for another pandemic that will happen, right? Please. So
that is the truth.
you setting up your realistic goals will actually be best in planning your future ahead. Because if you plan your future ahead based from unrealistic and special occasion, that you're just setting up yourself for failure. So if I'm like the nurse right now who just graduated, the first thing I will do, I'll still prepare, you know, take my PRC, my local board exam in my country, and then take my NCLEX, you know, coming to the United States, preparing for it. And then as soon as I pass that NCLEX, apply for a job and let it flow. You know, you're investing already coming to the United States. And while that investment is moving, you know, you don't have to wait. You don't have to look at it every day either. Yeah. You know, right. Keep yourself updated. Yeah, it's not going to move every day. You know? It's not like it's going to move when you look at it.
Right. The key is to keep your nursing experience current. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Let your investment grow. And while it's growing, passively that you're not touching, do something else. You know, then you're doing, you're working smart and not working hard, right? You know, you can do other things that will, you know, support your really main goal is, you know, coming to the United States is probably just to better off your life. But if US is putting a delay on that progression, there's other things that is better life out there.
That is true. I agree. I agree with Kay and Anna. So much learning here. I'm also learning myself. But that's the truth, though. Like looking back on my own experience and for everybody that I've heard that has undergone this, the key is to not give up. And the key is to actually put a goal in front of you, because that goal is going to be what's anchoring you to make sure that you're on the right track. I always tell this, I'm big on goal setting, and I always set my goals, readjust it accordingly. And that's what I shared when Sigma interviewed me for a podcast. Without a goal, you cannot assess yourself how far, how close you are to that, and you cannot evaluate if you're actually heading the right path or not. Mm-hmm. Set a goal that's smart, realistic, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound.
Smart goals.
Right? Smart goals.
Oh,
and I want to answer this question. I want to answer this question real quick. Lester has a question. If visas are delayed or on hold right now, will there be a possibility of removing the NCLEX? The short answer is no. And never. The long answer is no and never. That's it. There will always be a demand. There's a demand. So there will never stop the NCLEX. You will still take the NCLEX as usual.
And remember, Lester, NCLEX is a license for practice.
It's not connected to the visa.
Yeah, this is non-negotiable. Hey, you need nurses, right? I don't have NCLEX. Don't hire me. No, you cannot work without license, without NCLEX. So for those of you who don't have it yet, this is the best time to enroll and learn. And, you know, all have an Aspire, a great program. And take time, and now we're offering it's still up, right? All the labor day promo.
Yeah, I think. Yep.
So 30% off. I mean, you have all the opportunity right now. Learn how to drive, how to cook, budget.
How to cook? Oh my God! Yes. Oh my God! I had to learn how to cook. My mom was like, you never cooked when you were in the Philippines. I was like, well, when you're in the States, you're by yourself. You have to learn to cook.
And for those who have a staff who are not related or who don't work in healthcare, learn other skills. They have a good paying here, like Kami, you know, garden, landscaping.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh,
if you're in the country right now where education is cheaper, I would definitely get myself enrolled. I'll give you an example. I called the painter to repaint our house before we sold it, right? And they were charging me $13,000 for a five-day work. Wow. That's just the number. If you will land those high-paying states, if you will land those high cost of living, don't think of it as, oh, it's high cost of living, I cannot do that. But you have to think of it that these people who can afford to stay there in those high cost of living can afford to pay handymen a lot of money if something is broken. The landscaping company that we pay, they will just like zoom with their machine. That's gonna cost them $300. It's gonna cost them, take them only 15 minutes or less to do it.
Yeah.
That's $3 a month, you know? How many houses are they gonna do?
I was telling my mom, because I went home to the Philippines early this year to give her the house, right? Yeah. But I told my mom, and because I was in the house and I was fixing some things because the handyman was not there. And she said, when did you learn to drill? When did you learn to like put up picture frames and all that? I was like, I learned that when I was in the U.S. You know why? Because in the U.S., materials are cheap. The expensive ones are the labor. Like I pay my handyman $50 to $100 an hour. And I said, why did I not do this? Why did I take nursing when I can just buy a machine that drills and charge you $100 an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guys, I have a 3-story house. I have a 2,600 square foot house. Guys, 90% of everything hanging on this wall, I put up myself. And I'm 5'4". I have a tall ladder. I invested on drill bits and I learned it because labor is expensive. So if you have a spouse that's not a nurse, maybe they can learn some skills and offer it. There's like TaskRabbit here where you can offer your services online and they just text you and book you and you can charge you. So American dream is for those who wants to grab it. There's so much opportunities,
not just for healthcare workers. Like my neighbor, right. Her husband worked in a construction company, and he's getting paid $200 in an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Hold on.
Yeah.
That's my long-term plan if they kick me out of nursing. I was kidding.
Construction worker. And, you know, a life from construction in the Philippines and U.S. is different. It's more, safer, and you have a lot of equipment. So I was like, oh, really? So now I'm encouraging all my nurses' friends. They're worrying. Well, we don't really want to go to the U.S. with my husband or my spouse who's not a healthcare worker. I said, no. Don't think about that. Learn how to do carpentry, gardening.
Skills.
Yes, skills. Cooking, driving, Uber, Lyft. Well, in the Philippines, Grab. So those are the things that you can do while waiting for the registration. So many things.
You know you're in Houston. I use Instacart, right? If I'm busy with work, I just pay Instacart and I tip them probably $15-$20 depending on what a grocery, plus Instacart pays it. It's like Shoppers. So you order in the app, they shop for you, they earn money bringing stuff for you, you still give them tip. So I would say they earn as much as 30 to 50 an hour just for going to the grocery and buying what stuff you need. And that's no education needed, no certification needed, just need a driver license and know where the grocery is at.
Yep, those blue collar jobs are actually well paid here in the United States.
Yeah,
so whenever I go to the Philippines for vacation, I always make sure that I enroll my kids to something because those are, you know, it's cheaper in you know, outside United States for education. The recent flight that we did was we learned how to do bartending. For me, I'm a bartender, so you know, and then my son, I enrolled him to barista school. You know, my son was only 14 years old, but I paid that barista school in the Philippines for the summer trip. So he learned those things, because when you come to the United States, so sometimes it's very expensive to send, you know, kids to those educational thing. And actually, if you teach them those skills and trade outside the United States, when you come to the U.S., you know those skills. All you have to do is just learn the regulation and how to be certified, you know, get your license, but you already have the skill. And you got your skill from a school that is cheaper than coming to the United States.
That's
so
true.
Those are your good options, you know. I want to address the one question that popped in. Is that okay, guys?
We have
Yes, of course.
So there is a question by Soler. Do you guys recommend the H-1B visa? You know, we have a lot of questions regarding this, you know, because a lot of agencies are saying that there is a cap exempt, right?
Yes,
cap exempt So I verified that. I'm not a lawyer, but I did verify that with immigration lawyers, and almost all of them say, "Kay, that's not guaranteed. You know, H-1B is not guaranteed. You know, and they're saying cap exempt. It's, you know, it's not really. There are also cases that is exempt. You know, there's a cap. Sorry. But for me, what's my stand in here? If you are being offered H-1B visa or other non-green card visa. Or temporary visa, because H-1B are working visa and they're temporary. My recommendation on that is, you know, I'm not an immigration lawyer, but if I will be put in that situation, I will make sure that I research that employer very, very well.
Very well, yes.
Because if you look at the statistics, majority of the exploitation that's happening are under those visa, because these nurses or these employees know that, I mean, the employers know that you will follow whatever they want, because otherwise you can be terminated and sent back to your country. So if you are approached with these companies with offering those temporary visa, I really want you to research really hard those companies. Research any lawsuits, research about the nurses who arrived there. What is their conversion? You know, because they always promise we're going to convert you within 90 days. You know?
It has to be in your contract.
Yes, it has to be on your contract that you actually will see that they are really converting you. You see that in the contract, not just words. Every single promise that they do, make sure it is in the contract. And then you will have to research those nurses who arrived there from the same company. You ask them, was it 100% successful? You know, what's the conversion success? You know, because those are important, because we hear a lot of stories coming to us that, we were not applied after 90 days, you know, they did not apply, and we did not see anything. And some of them actually got denied, and what now, you know, they're out of status, right? So please consult an immigration lawyer, research really hard, consult an immigration lawyer outside that agency. If you have to pay them something, pay them, because this will save your life. So I don't want to
May I add really, really quickly? I know we're running out of time, but H-1B visa is work visa. It has less protection than EB-3, which is an immigrant visa. Let me tell you this. When you come here on a work visa, your social security number and visa, all right, your ability to stay here legally is tied with the employer. And many of the H-1B cap exempt, which means they can bring you here anytime because they're not worried about exempt. They can get you a visa anytime. And this is true. This is very quick. 3 to 6 months, you're here, right? That's the most appealing part. Remember that these cap exempt visas are for those rural communities that really, really need nurses and nobody wants to go there. So these are remote communities. These are communities where nurses don't want to stay, probably because of a toxic culture, of a toxic manager, or poor pay. You'll be subjected to that. Now, here's the thing, right? If for whatever reason you come over here and 30 days later you figure out this is not the job for me, it's affecting my mental health. Guys, you cannot just quit and apply to the next facility in another city. Why? Yeah. Automatically, as soon as you quit, the employer reports that to USCIS, your visa is automatically canceled. You have to leave the United States within 30 days. And because they have this power, they can coerce you and say, we're going to fire you if you don't follow our instruction. We want you to work 6 days a week, 12-hour shifts. You cannot refuse. Otherwise, we'll fire you. If we fire you, you're going back to the Philippines or you're going back to your own country. This is the truth. That's why Kay is saying this is grounds usually for human trafficking or abuse, because they hold so much power because you are on a work visa. You literally have in your SSN, Social Security, stamped there that you can only use the SSN for this certain employer. You cannot choose it to apply for anyone else. You know what I mean? And your visa is tied up to that employer. You're out of status right away. You have 30 days to look for another one that can give you an H-1B cap exempt, and then the cycle repeats. Plus, you can only stay for 3 years and a renewal of another 3 years, right? We say, one of the things I tell nurses when they tell me, is H-1B good, right? The first thing I ask is, when are they going to file you for EB3? If they say 90 days, and I talked to one of the employers, I said, do you guys put it in the contract? And they never returned back to me. Because if you're telling me that you're going to file them for EB3 immigrant visa within 90 days, put it in the contract. So there's an assurance for the nurse and you're not going to abuse them and they can hold you accountable as well. If they don't put it in the contract, I would not go. Even if it's appealing for me to get to the US 3 months, I would not subject myself to be coerced, manipulated, trafficked, just because of the American dream. It has ruined so many lives. We don't want you guys to undergo that. So do your due diligence, be proactive, ask questions, seek a lawyer, and research. Like really, really dig into it. Is this the type of employer that I want, right? And what's my exit plan, exit strategy? Just like an investment, Kay. Always have an exit plan. What happens when things go south? Right.
Great point, Olympe. My great reward visa is as nurses, we have opportunity to acquire green cards or EB basically. Why choose work visa wherein you can bring your family and later on, I believe you have a same waiting time too. Am I correct on that? So whenever someone asks me, that's what I tell them. Why choose the lesser opportunity over green card visa? Anyway, we have so much to talk about. We're running out of time, like Paul said. Now, I know, Paul, we already shared our success stories. Okay, but for the last 5 more minutes, let's inspire our nurses who are watching for us. Paul, can you share your success story, beating this retrogression in our advocacy to help our fellow healthcare workers?
Right. This will be very, very quick. I'll just share it on TikTok. I've shared it so many times over the years in my TikTok and my Instagram. But guys, I've been a product of retrogression. Every time someone tells me that they get discouraged with retrogression, I want to quit. Is this for me? Is this not for me? Guys, I always tell them with an opening note that I've lived retrogression for more than 9 years. If you're talking about retrogression in American dream, I am a testimony to that. My life story, my own American dream journey story, is a product of retrogression and pushing through while there's retrogression. Do not quit. Finish your NCLEX. Do your IELTS or whatever English exam. Get your visa screen ready. The retrogression is a cycle. There's no available visa for now, or it might be delayed, but one day it's gonna be your turn. My question is, once it's your turn, are you ready for it? Because if not, somebody else will take your spot. So get yourself ready. Success is for those people who work hard to strive success and excellence. Do not quit. All right. My life story alone is a testimony that retrogression is cyclical, but it doesn't matter if you're 30, you're 40, you're 50, you're still going to be able to live your American dreams. So start working now, write down your goals, push through the retrogression, and do not let it affect your mentation. Keep working as a nurse. Like Kay said earlier, try something else. Go to UK, go to Germany, explore, be with your family. One day it's gonna be there knocking at your door and you'll be so excited because you never give up on it.
Nice point. Well, how about you, Kay? Any success story? And I know you have a lot of advocacy.
Well, I would just say, you know, be proactive. Nobody will act on your best interests. And, you know, you always have to start with a goal. You know, setting up realistic goals will really be best because you are not setting up yourself for failure. And for me, I always like to plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, because if I really want that so bad, I will have no excuse not to get it. And I will get it. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul and Clay. So with me, like Paul said, I am also a product of retrogression, but I want to create the future that I want, not just for myself, but for my family. So I waited with absolute and faith that my time will come and it arrived. And look, what's happening to our life, like I must be saying that I am grateful, proud, and happy that whatever I dream and plan and put on my notebook 18 years ago, it happened. It's still happening. So nurses, healthcare workers, red progression is not the end of your American dream. It's only a pause, only a break. We need breaks. And this break make you forget. It's time to learn new skills, review for an NCLEX, review for English exam, apply for visa screen, enhance your skill as a nurse, learn other skills, stay informed and networking. Stay tuned every Sunday to be inspired, to learn. And we will offer whatever we can offer to help you guys by sharing our own experiences, not just success, but our failures. So thank you so much for being with us. Yay. All in play, our morning Sunday. We more than 1 hour, but I have so much fun. Thank you.
Right. We went over for 5 minutes.
Yes. Thank you so much, everyone. And
thank you, guys.
Oh, next week, we will not have a good show, right? We will play one break.
Yeah. No, no. We are going to have a show. It's October.
In yes, October, we are. Yes, I mean, yeah, October.
Yeah, we have our calendar. I think let's show our next show for next week. And, okay, our next show
already?
Will be...
It's already
yes,
October.
It's my birth month. Next week, October 1, Sunday, 8 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and 9 p.m. Philippines. We're going to talk about the immigration pathways. We're going to talk about EB3 again and H-1B visa. Get your questions ready. Put it on our posters. And we're going to answer that during the live show. And let's look at the calendar for the whole October. I think we have a calendar for the whole October. Yeah. Woo, so many exciting topics all about immigration and contracts.
Don't forget October 8, October 18, put it in your planner, in your alarm clock. Every Sunday, you're going to learn a lot from this. You are starting your American dream, or you're halfway, or you're already here in the U.S. It doesn't matter. Learning is fun. Knowledge is power every Sunday. With Paul and Clay and yours truly, thank you so much for 8.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good day. Have a good night.
Good day.
Wherever you are. Bye.